for one.
You know, when Bill was saying about he was such a good waiter down here at the Pennsylvania Hotel or whatever it is, he also used to play a harmonica and a banjo. And one of these things that you play all up and down the line where little Doohick is. But you know, more than that, he and Dick Nixon, who was contemporary in crime with him at the same time, were considered the best debating couple that your little college here, I mean your big college, has ever had. Now, I know this is true because I know that Bill was on that debating team with Nixon, and I know it's true because Bill told me that they were the best that the college had ever had. And he's become more eloquent all the time. He forgot to tell you that he and I are now appearing together in KFI Tuesday and Thursday nights at 10:30. It's sort of a question and answer club. Why does your stomach ache and what's wrong with your head? I think you'll find it very interesting. Probably the most, both personally, can you hear back there too? And impersonally observing here tonight is myself, because I have a strange, not split personality, it's a multiple personality really. I have the keenest personal interest in such an occasion as this, and the most impersonal interest in that I love it personally, and I don't feel that it has anything to do with me at all, other than that it is a certain phenomenon which is taking place in my day, and which I have the privilege of being some part of. Tolstoy in War and Peace, which is still called the best six novels ever written by all great writers, said that any person this day who appears to do anything worthwhile probably has the least of anyone of his age to do with it. He is merely something, an instrumentality, that the principle of evolution sort of leaves upon the shores of time to see what will happen. If it happens, he has the opportunity of being one who appeared to help. If it doesn't happen, he and it go out on the next tide, because only that which persists in evolution, finally, that which is worthy, can remain. As Tennyson said, so careful of the type, it seems, so callous of the single life. Our movement grows and expands very rapidly. As rapidly, I think, as it is possible, because we would not wish to mistake its end and purpose, which is not the building of churches. It is not the dedicating of churches. It's what happens in them after they are built and after they are dedicated. It's what happens wherever a group of people in our conviction meet together for the only two purposes for which we exist, teaching and practice. We have many orators in our midst, such as Barclay Johnson and Bill Hannaday and others here. But that isn't enough. What happened? For as Shakespeare said, a man may smile and smile and smile and be a damned villain still. So we could profess and confess and exclaim and proclaim that God is all there is. And no one will believe it unless something happens when we say it. We are a teaching and a practicing order in the Christian faith who believe in two great fundamental realities: the divine presence, personal to every living soul, and uniquely personal to each and every one of us. That's the first great cornerstone. The next is a power for good and a law of good in the universe greater than we are that we can use for definite and specific purposes. The first one, everyone believes in. The second proposition, probably about 20 million people in this country now believe in somewhat. And perhaps 200,000 of them really know what it is that they believe. I doubt it. It is our endeavor through our educational system to teach people what this principle is and how to use it. And there is a growing conviction in my mind that it should and must become the endeavor of all of our leaders to exercise some kind of a discipline over their membership, not as to their theology, because I'm the world's worst theologian. I don't even know who wrote the books of the Old Testament, and I'm sure I don't care. I don't know what kind of underwear the apostles wore, but I'm sure it's worn out. And most of their other beliefs are, too. They did not have electric lights or automobiles. They didn't know how to make pancakes. I doubt very much if they had very much understanding of what Jesus had taught them. That is not our endeavor, to convert somebody to our faith. It is to prove something, first of all, to ourselves, then to the world, and we have no authority before the world, and should ask for none, and will have none, ever, I hope, other than the authority of the work that follows the word. Should we become the most prosperous organization in the world and build temples that would make Taj Mahal jealous and blush with shame, and the dead in hope are not raised? We should have become the most dismal failure in the entire history of the evolution of man's concept of God. It is not at all strange that the time should have come, and it happened to come in our time, and we happen to be those through whom and to whom it came. How fortunate we are. How lucky you and I are that we're here tonight. Oh, we are indeed favored among all people on earth, of all ages, for we have taken the banner that Jesus resigned when he said to a thief beside him, "Do not be afraid. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is quite a banner. It is with this banner that we advance and advance on chaos and the night. We are a teaching order, not a preaching order. We are a practicing order, not a proselyting order. And the world has waited long and too often vainly for something to happen, for some healing power of the unseen magic of the spirit to be evident. That's the cornerstone. I think that we should, and I have it in mind definitely, because all I can do is to sort of stand to one side and prod them all along, you know. Say, G and Haw, you wouldn't even know that. When I was a kid, I knew people who even had oxen. It's a long time ago. We won't talk. I did meet somebody down Johnny Heflin's church last night, and he said he admired me very much, and he said, you are so much like another a friend of mine. He is 92, and I said, well, I'm still holding my own, and as long as I don't slip backward, everything's going to be jake. But I have something stirring inside of me, what they call a restless soul. I don't like to get one thing done without getting another started that's a little bigger than the other thing, else you are slipping back. You know, we haven't yet done what I believe we can do with our membership. Now we're here tonight to dedicate a church, a physical building. I think it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a miracle. But I know why it is here. It's here because you're here. And because Dr. Rene Smith is here. And because your consciousness and hers and Bill's and all of you wonderful people down here have clicked together. And what happens? Power, like the weaving of a rope, where one strand will hold no weight, but united, it will hold terrific weight. We have yet to see what the multiplied consciousness of a church body can do if they are properly trained, if they permit someone to exercise an authority over them, not of their theology, for which I wouldn't give a nickel anyway, not of their private lives, which are no one's business but their own, but of one thing only. There is a law of good. There is a power in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. And it will multiply its effects 1,000 times, in my belief, through the united consciousness of a group. I have had so much inward conviction about this the last year, and the members of the Ministerial Association know about it, that I know, as I know that I am here, that you, right here, under the leadership of your most inspired leader, who has balanced the human and the divine equations so that God and man unite on earth, you are going to prove this. Others will. I know that you will, because of what's happened here. Let me tell you this. A It is the only excuse we have. There are many wonderful religions in the world. We are not better than the others. We are not more spiritual. We are not more evolved. We are not more anything other than this one thing. We have co-joined our consciousness with the eternal verity of the universe, that everlasting and eternal father of all life, and the mother of all creation, forever begetting the only begotten, is begetting him in us right now. And that the word of our mouth is a word of truth in such degree as it emulates and embodies the truth which sanctifies the word to its unique service of healing, not only the sick, but the poor in heart. We are dedicated to the concept that the pure in heart shall see God here, that the meek will inherit the earth now, that one with truth is a majority, that every one of us in the secret place of the Most High, the citadel of his own consciousness, has the secret with the eternal, the everlasting, the almighty, and the ineffable. God and I are one. And I see you doing this. And I see you uniting in one great hymn of praise, one great union of effort, one crescendo song, and one enveloping light of consciousness. I see it. Oh God, the veil is thin between. We do mingle with the hosts of heaven. I see it, and I shall speak no more.